Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur extraordinaire. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The burden of Egypt, cried the prophet, quote, "For the Egyptians shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land," end quote. Isaiah 19. Is Egypt crying for liberty, or is this a Muslim Brotherhood plot to take over Egypt? You know, this is one of those stories that is developing so fast, it's hard to keep up with it. We hear Mubarak has resigned, and then it turns around, and we hear that, no, he's going to stay on as president, at least as a figurehead. And if he's resigned, it's great news. That is, if the protesters are going to continue putting pressure on the government to proceed with democratic reforms. But if the radicalized Muslim jihad-headed Muslim Brotherhood gets its way, well, this is very bad news for Israel, isn't it? We are glad that, at least for the present, the military, who now has the government under its sole power, we understand, have not unleashed the dogs of war upon the people. You see, the background drama that developed to this point and is continuing to develop is very interesting. And I intend to pull back the curtain and give you a peek backstage. You're going to love it. You know, with these dictator types, you just never know. He might make a deal with the key influential military strongmen in Egypt, and then suddenly the whole picture can change again. For example, we were told he resigned, but now we're told the military has said, no, they're going to stick behind Mubarak and recognize him as the president until the September elections. But they're committing to the people to have a smooth and peaceful transition and so on. Anyway, the question becomes, where will Egypt go from here? There are some things about this whole business you're not hearing about from our own Mubarak's state-controlled media, and it's probably not going to reach our standard alternative media outlets for a few weeks. Although I did notice this morning some of this information is beginning already to get out there and circulate. First, Mubarak wanted to send in the military to put down the rebellion, but the fact is, the military had already been so infiltrated with pro-democracy sympathizers. He was apprised that such an action would not be generally supported and would likely result in the military dividing between loyalists to Mubarak and those who would defend the people. Also, there was uncertainty about what America was going to do, thanks to Obama's equivocating. The U.S. stood on the sidelines, you know, when the Iranians made their bid for freedom. But could they count on the U.S. to stay out of Egypt? Now, we are going to explore this seeming enigma. Why did Barack Hussein Obama not throw his support fully behind the pro-democracy protests in Iran, but apparently has decided to throw his support behind the uprising in Egypt? Anyway, Mubarak was in check. This is a very bad thing in circumstances like this when decisive action is critical. The various concessions we've heard coming from Mubarak were aimed not so much at the people to gain their support, but at the U.S. and his own military, hoping to gain time to arrange the deals necessary and to create the alignments necessary to win them on his side and to at least delay the inevitable, or what appears now to be the inevitable, to buy him some time. Now, threats to crack down on the protesters were floated out there, suggested as a potentially necessary evil in order to stop the looting and to restore law and order, to protect the nation from descending into total lawlessness. Quote, Vice President Omar Suleiman warned a group of Egyptian news editors that the only choice is between a descent into further lawlessness and a military takeover in Cairo, end quote. This followed by Muhammad Hassanin Haikal singing the same overture to this developing drama. By the way, Hassanin Haikal is a well-known and well-respected political observer in Egypt, a journalist who served 17 years as editor-in-chief of Al Aram, which is a Cairo newspaper. He sees, quote, no other way out of the crisis but a government ruling by the army's bayonets, end quote. Now, apparently those bayonets were pointed at Mubarak, and Mubarak's supporters hoped that he could remain in office until the September elections, and some promised he would allow a smooth transition out of office. And this has gone back and forth, and now apparently the military strongmen sympathetic with the protesters have gone along with those supportive of Mubarak, and decided that they will stand by him and his intention to remain as president until September. Now, this is we don't know how this is going to play with the crowd here. You know, most of the protesters believed and continue to believe Mubarak will reassert his dictatorial ways as soon as he gets an opportunity. So will they stand firm and insist that he must officially, formally resign from the office? Of course, the problem there is it leaves a vacuum of leadership. The military would have to step in and so on. Anyway, here is some background I think you'll find interesting. It's not time to give a damage report or to count casualties. If the protesters don't trust the military to implement the democratic reforms they are demanding, the prediction of Husseinin might be fulfilled. The government will rule by the point of their bayonets turned to the people, to that crowd. God help us. We don't want another Tiananmen Square, huh? Did you know that Mubarak and King Abdullah are personal friends? Dictators of a feather stick together. And of course, I'm sure you're aware of the long-standing relationship between King Abdullah and his family with Barack Hussein Obama. Now, if you simply accept what the evidence tells you, reasonable minds would be compelled to agree there is substance to the rumors that a massive amount of Saudi money filled Obama's campaign coffers, that one of the princes of Saud paid his way to Harvard, and, well, as they say, a picture is worth a thousand words, and I'm holding one that shows Obama bowing deeply before the king of the land of Mecca. When this protest broke out in Egypt, it is clear that it caught Obama and company off guard. It is also clear that he did not know what to do, which explains the confusing statements we were getting from the White House for a while, unless that was part of the plan to keep things off balance there, huh? Until he could see which way it would go. Anyway, essentially what happened is that Obama got himself into a pickle, that's the way it appeared, and was running both ways back and forth on this until finally he committed and he ran for the safest bet to cover his own politically precarious hind end. Pro-democracy is a better re-election soundbite, you know. But he knew he had to explain things to the King of Mecca. I understand that on February 8th, say sources in Washington who wish to remain anonymous, a special envoy was, quote, dispatched to Morocco with a message of explanation for the king. He was turned away, end quote. Now, was this a major diplomatic blunder or a purposed slight? I mean, why didn't Barack call the king directly? Perhaps it was a blunder because 2 days later, Barack did call Abdullah and that conversation did not go well. Here is an interesting article from Debka with intel about how that conversation went down. Quote, deep U.S.-Saudi rift over Egypt. Abdullah stands by Mubarak, turns to Tehran, end quote. The article begins, quote, the conversation between President Barack Obama and Saudi King Abdullah early Thursday, February 10th. And by the way, that would be our February 9th. They're about a day ahead of us. And I'll continue in the quote. Was the most acerbic the U.S. president has ever had with an Arab ruler, end quote. Now, folks, I understand it made the ailing octogenarian Arab king so upset that he exhibited symptoms of a heart attack. Then something happened that has never happened before. The Saudi king openly defied the president of the United States directly, and I understand this is unprecedented for any of the Western sympathizing Arab rulers. Quote, according to British intelligence sources in London, the Saudi king pledged to make up the losses to Egypt if Washington cuts off military and economic aid to force Mubarak to resign, end quote. Mecca's king, quote, chastised the president for his treatment of Egypt and its president Mubarak, calling it a disaster that would generate instability in the region and imperil the moderate Arab rulers and regimes which had backed the United States until now, end quote. From Abdullah's point of view, Obama had betrayed America's most faithful ally in the Arab world, and he vowed to, quote, bend all its resources to undoing Washington's plans for Egypt, end quote. And we understand he also rebuked Obama for abandoning Lebanon to Hezbollah. You see, there is more going on in the world than Egypt, my friends. Better pay attention. Now listen very carefully to this next observation. Quote, indeed, our sources add, the king at the age of 87 is fearful that in the event of a situation developing in Saudi Arabia, like the uprising in Egypt, Washington would dump him just like Mubarak, end quote. Now, You see, here is the situation. We have established a policy of propping up dictators so long as they serve, shall we say, vital national interests, such as the free flow of oil in the world, which I agree is a national interest, of more than economic consequence, by the way, or suppressing, or at least keeping, the anti-Semitic spirit, which is a cousin of the Antichrist spirit, below the boiling point in the Middle East. Or, in other words, we have established a policy of supporting tyrants, oppressors, like Mubarak, and other despots in the region, if they will cooperate with us in keeping the mad dogs of Allah leashed, and or at least fed enough rhetorical hate Israel and America red meat to keep those dogs from breaking out in all-out war over there. You got it? So now, an uprising breaks out in Egypt, completely catches Obama off guard, it seems, unprepared. A development, by the way, that Bush actually set in motion a while back, pursuing his doctrine that said the only way we are going to stop the crazed Muslim menace is to support democracy throughout the Middle East, a doctrine with which I agree, by the way. Anyway, as I mentioned last week, this uprising in 2011 has been in planning for about 8 years or more, and not only Egypt, there was an effort to introduce democracy in Iran in 2009, but Obama stood on the sidelines with his hands folded and refused to lend his support to the protesters. Now, in this instance, he is uncertain what to do. He goes back and forth, having been significantly weakened politically by the November elections and having been caught off guard by this sudden development. Why, he's flip-flopping all over the deck of the ship of state like a landed mackerel. These pictures that come to my mind. He doesn't know what to do. Now, the case in Iran was clear. That uprising was a very clear cry for help to topple the rule of the Ayatollahs. It was anti-Sharia. You know, so the answer was easy. Show the Muslim Brotherhood that the U.S. is supportive of them. Let the Muslim Brothers work out their problem with the protesters. But with Mubarak, well, it's different. Mubarak was not a brother. He suppressed the Muslim Brotherhood. He outlawed them, kept them leashed in tight, served the interests of the great Satan. And while Mubarak was, you see, on our side, a symbol of the imperialist oppressor interfering in foreign lands. Now, you got to listen all the way through the show to follow this, so please stay tuned. So abandoning him would play well among the Muslims. You ever hear how Obama says Muslim? To show them we have no anti-Muslim sentiment. At the same time, there is sufficient evidence that Mubarak is an oppressor, and therefore it's easy to gain sympathy here for the protesters there. And that can only be good for the beleaguered president, alleged Obama, for his re-election bid. Obama is in a pickle, running both ways, back and forth for a while, looking for an opening. Finally, he commits and makes a run for home base, shouting, "Down with dictators!" But Abdullah, the Mecca king, is mad. So Obama tries to explain to Abdullah that the political reality is such that he must side with what appears to be a pro-democracy movement. Of course, everyone knows how capable Obama is of throwing allies under the bus. Loyalty to America's allies is not a strong suit with this fella, if you know what I mean. So the Saudi king has decided he can no longer trust America to support him in the event a similar uprising occurs in Saudi Arabia, as has occurred in Iran and now in Egypt. The paradigm has changed, and the Saudi king is adjusting. And this is where Obama's fumbling is bringing us into a very dangerous situation. But I want to add, not only Obama's fumbling, also our past immoral policy of propping up dictators in the Middle East to serve our so-called national interests. But hold on. Brain massage moment is about to burst. Now, King Abdullah has contacted Iran and he has said, "Hey, let's talk." Oh, yeah. Abdullah has warned Obama, threatened Obama, that, quote, without waiting for events in Egypt to play out or America's response, he had ordered the process set in train, which is to say in motion, for raising the level of Riyadh's, that's the capital of Saudi Arabia, diplomatic and military ties with Tehran, the capital of Iran. Consider the implications of this. The Saudi king is reaching out to anti-Western powers in the region to fortify himself so that he can protect himself from American betrayal of his own dictatorship. Now, I realize Mubarak is his friend, and I don't doubt that plays into this. But these dictators are pragmatists at the core of their foul souls. That's how they justify what they do. DEPCA's sources who are close to these events read it like this. King Abdullah sees Obama's support for the protesters in Egypt as a clear signal that he cannot depend on America to stand by him if either a radical Sunni Muslim revolt develops or a pro-democracy revolt develops in Saudi Arabia challenging his rule. He has decided to make connections with Iran because without America standing behind him, Iran becomes a very serious threat. And if Mubarak falls to radical Muslim control in Egypt, that sandwiches Saudi Arabia between powers he can no longer withstand without America's support. So he's realigning. Obama's fumbling of the situation is creating a huge disaster. Anyway, I need to go to break here. So hold on, and I'll deliver the brain massage moment when I get back. To my dear friends on our Christian stations, thank you so much for the calls and the support you have given me lately for the Brain Massage Show. As I explained last week, this show is specifically designed to air on secular stations, and we air it on secular stations with very good effect. We're reaching people in our community who never attended church in their lives except for weddings and funerals, and they are coming to our church, friends, getting saved, becoming active, committed members of our church. Also, many Christians who are spiritually dying in these liberal, lip-wristed, PC-correct churches are hearing the clear voice of the Chief Shepherd in our message and being drawn out of that foolishness. So we are very excited about what God is doing with this show. We are planning to launch a campaign to increase our coverage on secular stations across the nation, and we're asking for your help. Your calls are a great way to help us. We pay for the call. Dial 1-888-770-8000 and leave your message letting us know what you think of the show. By the way, feedback either way is helpful, positive or negative. Tell your friends to listen and call in with their opinions about the show. And send us a donation if you can. I know we have some businessmen listening who can see the potential of such a show being broadcast across the nation. Join the growing group of committed businessmen who are enthusiastically supporting this effort to speak to the conscience of our nation in this direct, frank, and effective manner. It's sort of an Elijah model approach, if you will. Don't be ashamed, by the way, of a small donation to help us out. All of you, send what you can to Lighthouse Baptist Church, P.O. Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Or go to our webpage and you can make a donation through PayPal and use whatever card you want to use. The web address is santamarialighthouse.org, or you can go to thebrainmassageshow.com. To all of you who have already responded to this appeal, thank you. For the rest, I look forward to hearing from you. I'll complete your brain massage in a moment. We've produced a CD titled Singing Psalms. $10 covers the cost of the CD and includes a $3 donation to our ministry. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button.
Baptists have left a trail of blood across the pages of history, and that blood was their own. Baptists have paid dearly for their refusal to compromise on the firm commitment to the divine right of every person to believe and speak according to the dictates of their own conscience. Long before the Reformation, Baptists refused to accept the Pope as the head of the church, rejected infant baptisms, and refused to use images or to worship Mary. For this, millions were martyred during the Dark Ages, and later, during the early colonial period in America, Baptists were cast in prison and harassed by the Protestant churches. Indeed, America owes a great debt to the Baptists for our traditions of religious liberty and free speech in this country. We identify with the heroic heritage of steadfast faithfulness to the Word of God, and that is why the word Baptist is in our name. Visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church on West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the Lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Light, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Is the Egyptian crisis winding down? Some say Mubarak has left Cairo as a sort of symbolic gesture. And yet there is actually some conflicting reports as to his resignation or what his role will be. Some are saying he's gone, he's out. And yet we're also getting word that the military has decided to support his plan to stay as the president until September elections. But they're going to promise fair elections. We'll see. We understand he's transferred all power to act as president to his VP and to the military. but he continues formally to be the president. I'm telling you, folks, these situations are so fluid. It's like running with a bucket of water sloshing about, constantly changing. I'll tell you what's going on here. The leadership is trying to give the people just what they have to give them to quiet the immediate uprising. And the thing is, if the people let off the pressure too soon, Mubarak could very easily come back into power, and that is the concern of many in Egypt, by the way. At the same time, if the protest turns violent, that's going to give the military supporters of Mubarak the excuse they need to win over the military that is supportive of the protesters to go ahead and pull a Tiananmen Square. This is a very volatile situation. We're still waiting to find out whether there is sufficient strength of leadership in the military to pull this country through the reforms necessary to establish a genuine government of, by, and for the people. Will the Muslim Brotherhood get a sufficient footing in this new government to do to Egypt what they did to Turkey? All of this remains to be seen. But one thing is certain. According to the Bible, Egypt will be free. Oh yeah. In fact, democracy will prevail throughout the Middle East. Religious and political freedom will be the ruling paradigm. It behooves all kings and others in authority to recognize the inevitability of this. But here is my immediate point. We have established in America a long-standing policy of supporting dictators who served our, quote, national interest, end quote. And this approach has been crafted by very clever men, you know, smart guys. You know the type. They consider themselves to be men of the world, guys who operate above the principles of morality, self-styled realists, right? You know the type. The guys and gals who arrogantly presume, you know, hey, they're right and wrong, that's all fine and good for you plebs. But those of us who are enlightened, well, we men of the world types, we'll take care of business so you little people can live out your little fantasy lives with these neatly drawn lines of right and wrong. Man, you better watch out for that snake. You crafty devils have got us into a huge mess. We have played this wicked game of trusting in oppression and oppressors to protect us. And look what it's gotten us. It gave us Iran. Do you understand that? These wicked traitors to the ideals of liberty and justice for all, who say arrogantly that liberty is great for us but not for them, who have made their deals with the devil, created Iran and China, by the way. And I don't have time to explain it, but you take a closer look at the Osama bin Laden thing, you're going to find out this sort of behavior on our part contributed to the making of Osama. Now, do not get hysterical on me. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying we're responsible for 9/11. That evil devil is. I'm not saying we're responsible for Al-Qaeda. Here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. These wicked policies which George Washington, whose birthday we remember this month, would have condemned, by the way, these policies opened the door to this evil. It compromises us. It gives men like Osama a great recruiting opportunity. We should never be on the side of oppression. It compromises our integrity when we say we're for liberty. Don't you get that? Never, never trust in oppression. It will bite you every time. It will always put you on the wrong side of God. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. You anti-Christian bigots better grab your oxygen. Plug your ears. Give your kids Heather has two mommies, but don't let them hear something from the Bible. Quote, trust not in oppression, end quote. Psalm 62:10. If you do, you will find yourself on the wrong side of God every time. Listen, the prince, and from a biblical point of view, a political leader or ruler, quote, that lacks understanding is also a great oppressor, end quote. It's a bad plan, my friends. You must understand the importance of moral integrity in foreign affairs. Washington repeated warnings against being seduced by short-sighted immediate goals that might be attained by illicit or immoral means, warning us that in every case, in the long run, it will prove to be our ruin. By the way, it's the month in which we celebrate Washington's birthday. And I have a whole series of one-minute brain massages I created called Washington's Farewell Address, or Washington's Farewell. And you need to get it. They are compiled into a really neat little booklet fully documented with some great pictures of our first president, by the way, and excellent commentary on his great farewell address to the nation. Now, you get the booklet and a CD containing all 29 one-minute broadcasts for a donation of at least $10. It's a great way to remember Washington during this month. Go to our website, download the PDF version of the booklet and a zip file with all the brain massages, or call 1-888-770-8000 and tell us you want to order Washington's Farewell, and we'll get back to you to take your order. George Washington believed religious and political principles were inseparable. He understood that God rewards virtue with liberty and vice with tyranny. But anyway, get that booklet and that CD. You'll enjoy it. In foreign affairs, George Washington understood the value of virtue, of having a reputation for honesty, and the great danger of making alliances with evil workers for immediate advantages. Friend, we've forsaken his wise advice, and it's created a mess. If you compromise moral integrity, you open the door for all sorts of evil, and you feed the enemies with opportunities to justify their own wicked behaviors. You don't fight evil with evil. When you fight evil with evil, the only winner is evil. Come on, Bible Thump Alert! Bible Thump Alert! Quote, overcome evil with good. Call 1-888-770-8000 and let me know what you think about these things. Leave me a message. If you want me to call back, say so and leave me your number. For those of you listening on our Christian radio stations, please understand this show is designed for secular radio. For a period of about 10 years, we have honed, shaped, and fine-tuned this program, and now it is a proven model distinct from all the rest in many, many particulars. We call it the Elijah model, and God has been pleased to use it to reach the unchurched and the lib-churched. Now, we're planning to expand our reach into the secular radio market, which is one of the reasons we decided to come to your local Christian station. We wanted to show you the show and let you see its potential in hopes you would be willing to help us get it broadcast on more secular stations. Of course, you'll love it and enjoy it, and you find it educational, informative, and refreshing. And so the managers of the station that carries this show to you in your area need to hear from you. And you let them know you appreciate the Brain Massage Show. But you also need to call me. We record the messages we receive and we use them to encourage station managers to add our show to their programming. So call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. If you're using a cell phone, you don't need the one, I understand. Let me know what you think about the Brain Massage Show. If you want to help us with our campaign to get this show aired on more secular stations across the country, send us a donation. Any amount is helpful. You can send us a check payable to Lighthouse Baptist Church or just use the initials LBC. And then in the memo, put Brain Massage. It's tax deductible. Send it to P.O. Box 2803. That's P.O. Box 2803, Santa Maria, California. Santa Maria, California, 93457. 93457. Or go to our website at www.thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the donate button and make your donation by credit or debit card. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church. I have written melodies for several of the Psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have enjoyed singing them. We've produced a CD titled Singing Psalms. $10 covers the cost of the CD and includes a $3 donation to our ministry. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.